This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have an update from Sierra Doctor as well. A few weather records may be broken today. Highs are expected in the 70s here on this first day of November. Daytime highs likely 20 to 30 degrees above the seasonal average. It'll be a great day in the tractor or combine, but a cold front is on the way. Much colder conditions are expected by the end of the week.
The United Nations and Turkey are taking steps to rescue the humanitarian grain deal. Russia suspended its involvement in this arrangement over the weekend. Meanwhile, UN is saying it will continue to inspect ships even if Russia is not participating. A dozen ships left the Ukrainian ports yesterday, and Russia did nothing to block their movement. More than 100 vessels are still awaiting inspection, and it's unclear if the UN will be able to deal with that backlog.
In reaction to the latest developments out of the Black Sea region, the Biden administration claims Russia is using food as a weapon. Wheat prices started the week higher with news Russia pulled out of the grain deal. Those markets turned lower in the overnight grain trade. The CME has new daily price limits in place starting today. Corn drops from 50 cents to 45. Soybean limits going from $1.15 per bushel to $1. Chicago wheat limits are down a nickel to 65 cents per bushel.
Russia-Ukraine news dominated the grain markets yesterday. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifert says traders are watching Russia's reaction to Ukraine, the United Nations, and Turkey wanting to move forward with that grain corridor deal.
If Russia just lets that happen, is not either supporting or attacking, just kind of stepping away, well, then maybe the sharply higher trade that we saw Sunday night might be a bit of an overreaction from the market. However, if Russia comes in and attacks either ports or some of these ships, then, you know, insurance companies are not going to really allow that corridor to happen because none of these vessels are going to get insured at that point.
Seifert says the trade is really waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Is Russia going to attack something? One of these merchant vessels, or is Russia just not providing support anymore? It really remains to be seen. So the market is just kind of trying to sift through everything.
The crop insurance harvest price for corn is $6.86 per bushel. That's up 16% from the February discovery period. For soybeans, the harvest price is $13.81 per bushel. That's down 4% from February. Both prices are the highest since 2012 and the second highest in history.
According to the weekly crop progress report, corn harvest 76% complete nationwide. That's 12 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. 88% of the U.S. soybean crop has gone through the combine, 10% ahead of average. Winter wheat planting 87% complete. USDA also released its first update on winter wheat conditions.
We have winter wheat in pretty rough shape in many of the nation's major production areas. Just 28% of the winter wheat rated in good to excellent condition. 35% of the crop very poor to poor. Not the numbers you want to see here in late October.
And that's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
As of Sunday, Minnesota farmers have completed 80% of the corn harvest. That's more than 20 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Sunflowers are 55% harvested, behind the average of 72% for this date.
In North Dakota, topsoil moisture supply is rated 73% short to very short. USDA says 74% of the corn is harvested, well ahead of the average for this date of 47%. 62% of the sunflowers are harvested, up from 49%. With the exception of a few stragglers, North Dakota's soybean harvest virtually complete.
In South Dakota, 84% of the topsoil moisture is short to very short. Corn harvest is 82% complete, well ahead of the 52% long-term average. 97% of the soybeans and 60% of South Dakota sunflowers are harvested.
Congress has allocated $11 billion in COVID-related support for agriculture in 2021. Senate Agriculture Committee ranking member John Bozeman now wants to see how that money was spent. In a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, Bozeman said he is satisfied with the way USDA implemented most of the programs. However, Bozeman believes the Agriculture Department is using the remaining funds for projects unrelated to the pandemic. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The Upper Midwest dealing with drought as we go into the winter season. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
South Dakota State University Extension soil field specialist Anthony Bly says soils in the state are extremely dry. Bly has been disappointed to see tillage happening this fall with all the soil movement that took place this past year.
Well, regrettably, I really see a lot of fall tillage going on. I can't understand that. We saw the derecho and the haboob that occurred last year and the extreme 1930-ish, you know, looking storm clouds that came through, and that's just a few months ago, and here we are, you know, tilling these dry soils. So I can't understand why that's happening. Maybe it's just out of habit or tradition or what have you, but we're certainly exposing those soils to possible, you know, blowing and erosion in the future.
Bly encourages farmers to utilize no-till practices during dry years like this fall.
The root structure that's there, even in a tilled soil, those root crowns from the corn and even the soybean taproots have created some pores that any precip we get can go into. Anytime we till the soil, we open it up, we reduce the aggregate stability, we get rid of those large natural macro pores that were created by roots, and we just have that top tilled zone that we can fill up with water, and then it's going to run off. And so the idea is to follow the soil health principles and to understand how they interact and work, and eliminating tillage is just one of those.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Mississippi River at historically low levels. Steiner Consulting Group Chief Economist Alton Kalo expects this issue to ripple through the Midwest.
Probably will. I mean, it just, you know, if you have a challenge in moving product on a, you know, on the regular flow, you know, suddenly now the producers that will have inventory and they need to move, you know, some of their stock are going to find it quite challenging to do so.
And Kalo says changing basis levels will affect exports as well.
And so obviously the basis levels in certain parts of the country are going to be depressed, and you know, we're probably going to lose sales to South America, where some of the probably Chinese buyers that we're going to come and buy soybeans here, when they find that it's going to be difficult to get delivery on the product, they might go elsewhere to get some of that supply. So that's certainly going to be a challenge. The hope is that we're going to probably see a little bit more rainfall, and I think we got a little bit a week, 2 weeks ago that helped rise some of the levels, but we're far below where normal.
CHS Ag Services sales agronomist Kyle Schaefer says farmers are already putting in seed orders for next year.
We have some early order discounts now on our seed, and we're now that we start to have some of our yield data all compiled and put together, seed sales are starting to get kind of busy for us right now. We're booking seed every day, and we have our early order discounts and cash discounts and bookings right now, so you should take advantage of getting the varieties you're looking for early before we get some of them sold out.
Seed supply should not be a problem for next year.
You know, the popular varieties will always get kind of tight and sold out first, but we'll be fine. With the better yields, I think there's a little more seed available, and quality should be real good as well. Seems like a lot of the Xtend varieties, the Dicamba varieties and soybeans seem to be doing very well. But the Enlist side of things, the guys that like the Enlist, the genetics of them seem to be catching up. So that's kind of exciting as well. Corn varieties, we sell for multiple companies, and seems like the 80 to 89 day stuff fits most of our territories.
Outgoing Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has not conceded the election to former President Luiz Lula da Silva, but is expected to make an announcement today. For months, Bolsonaro claimed he would only lose the election if the results were falsified. Bolsonaro supporters are protesting by blocking roads and major trade routes. Federal police have estimated over 200 road blockades are in place across Brazil.
The Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meets today and tomorrow. The Fed is expected to raise target interest rates by 0.75%. If that happens, it'll be the fourth consecutive interest rate hike of that level. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Foreign investment can be a great money infusion into a local economy, but South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson says when it comes to China, we need to be cautious.
You know, I understand that there are times foreign investment can be great news for American workers and the American economy. I mean, if Toyota wants to build another car plant in Tennessee, that is great news for welders and machinists who would get those great jobs. But my interest in foreign investment gets pretty scarce in a hurry when you're talking about America's adversaries. The reality is the Chinese Communist Party, these are not friends of our nation. And in fact, they have strategically in recent years attempted to get more control over global food supply and supply chains.
Johnson says the Chinese Communist Party has had good success in buying land and businesses.
Chinese holding of foreign farmland has increased 1,000% in the last few years, and they own ag processing facilities, 1,300 of them, in this country and elsewhere, worth about $35 billion. So this is real. It is still relative on the farmland side, still relatively modest in this country. But the time to close the barn door is before all the cattle are out. And that's why I'm a leader on bills that would flat out prohibit the Chinese Communist Party and their partners from buying up American farmland or ag processing facilities.
Ukrainian grain exports totaled 4.2 million tons in October. That's down from 5 million tons 1 year ago. The Agriculture Ministry says that included nearly 2 million tons of wheat, 2 million tons of corn, and 313,000 tons of barley.
Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has released its annual report outlining the state's response to highly pathogenic avian influenza. A total of 81 premises were affected in Minnesota. To qualify for any indemnity payments, poultry operations must have a biosecurity plan in place and be open to state and federal audits. African swine fever remains a major threat to Minnesota pork producers. The MPCA has plans in place to respond to foreign animal disease, such as African swine fever.
Checking those markets, we're down a nickel right now for Minneapolis wheat for the December contract at 976 and a quarter. The March contract down 9.5. Chicago wheat, the contract, 877 and three quarters, down 4.5. KC wheat, same contract, down 2.75. For the corn market, we're just a half cent lower for December at 691, March down a penny at 695 and three quarters. While corn and soybeans are starting the day on the downside, soybeans are higher. January soybeans, 1437 and a quarter, that's a gain of 17 and three quarter cents. March soybeans, 1444 and a quarter, that's 16 and three quarter cents higher. As we check in on the farm calendar, North Dakota Wheat Commission and U.S. Durum Growers hosting their annual Crop Outlook and International Durum Forum meeting. That will be tomorrow and on Thursday. That's going on in Minot. And the South Dakota Stock Growers Association has its 131st convention and trade show. The meeting begins on Thursday, continues through Friday. They're going to be meeting in Spearfish, South Dakota. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.